You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking Boston Red Sox with MLB.com's Red Sox beat reporter, Ian Brown. Ian, in looking at Red Sox stats, and again, I can be guilty of scouting the stats, but that's why I ask you these things. Red Sox are tied for last in the major leagues in extra base hits. And on my notes, all I have written down after that note is, what?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. The thing is, the team is winning, but they're not necessarily doing it in pretty ways right now. You know, they're sort of grinding it out. You have a bunch of guys who aren't really in a rhythm offensively. Hanley Ramirez hits your three-run homer, so that's made some things look good. But, yeah, they're not in a groove right now offensively. I think it's just early season, frankly, and guys just not clicking. But I do think, you know, I'm convinced that this team is going to hit, but you just kind of have a bunch of guys off the slow starts at once.
There certainly are some guys you fully expect to hit, but there are also some guys coming off some trouble that maybe you're not so sure about. I mean, I look at a guy like Victorino. I know everybody was really encouraged about Napoli, but he didn't have a great year last year. Any of these guys off to early slumps that there is concern about, that maybe it is a little more than just a slow 2 weeks?
It's funny with Napoli. This guy had a magnificent spring training, and he just looked kind of like he was going to have a huge year. And I think what happened was they went to Philadelphia. They didn't have that DH, and he ended up sitting two out of the three games. And it seemed like he really lost his stroke in that 1 week to start the season. And he's been sort of trying to get it back ever since. But, you know, again, I think that these guys go in streaks, and sometimes the guys who are red hot in spring training are the guys who start off slow during the season. So I think it's just that with Mike Napoli. Shane Victorino, you know, he sort of predicted he was going to get off to a slow start because he said, look, I missed, you know, almost the entire second half of last year. It's going to take me a while to get my timing back. So let's just wait. I would wait a couple of weeks on that just to make sure if that's exactly what it is, just kind of regaining his feel for the game. He's looked pretty good on defense. He seems to be moving around pretty well in right field. But, yeah, he's definitely off to a terrible start offensively, and you're not going to feel great about him until you start seeing Victorino get some of those results.
Another guy I kind of want to drill down on a little more that we were just raving about either 1 or 2 weeks ago. But Mookie Betts is hitting 200 with a 262 on base. He's hit for some power. He's got four extra base hits. But he's not performance-wise off to a great start. And so, you know, as somebody who's watching him more than I am, what are you seeing from him? Are the numbers deceiving, or is he really off to a little bit of a slow start, big highlights and big moments aside?
Yeah, I think he's trying to find it a little bit right now at the plate, and he's the classic case of a 22-year-old kid who was red hot when he came up last year, and in spring training this year, now guys have a book on him and they're trying to exploit some weaknesses, and now, you know, he's going to make that next adjustment. But by no means does he look overmatched at the plate. he's taking good swings. He's hit a lot of balls right at guys, and he continues to play winning baseball, such as, you know, Tropicana Field, first game of the series there. Great takeout slide, really, to set up the only run of the game the Red Sox had there. He's made a number of great plays on defense. So I think this guy is, he'll get hot. He'll get hot. He's too good of an athlete, and, you know, too much poise up there not to get his number soon. It's just, like I said, you know, everybody reads into the slumps that happen the first 2 weeks of the season because that's all you have on your stat sheet right now. And if Mookie goes through a stretch like this, you know, in June, where he's already built up a foundation of numbers, you know, nobody's even talking about it. So I think it's just, the way you read into things early in the season.
Given the glut of outfielders they have, is there any pressure on either of those guys just because there are so many alternatives if they decided to give a guy, even if it wasn't a full-on change of a regular, to start trying to get somebody some more at-bats? Is there any particular pressure on Betts or Victorino just, again, given that there are 1,000 alternatives?
Yeah, no, I think Mookie's a guy in center, kind of almost no matter what. I mean, unless he has like a Jackie Bradley junior season from last year, I think Mookie's going to be the guy in center. But, yeah, the Victorino one's an interesting one. You don't know quite what kind of player he is, or if he's still the same guy that he was two short years ago. So, yeah, I mean, there's a case with Victorino where, you know, you have a guy named Alan Craig sitting on the bench, where this guy, you know, I firmly believe this guy could hit, but I also believe that this guy is not built to be a part-time player, and he doesn't have that kind of Brock Holt swing that has low maintenance where he can sit around for 3 or 4 days and then just come in and spray three line drives. I think Craig is the type of guy where needs to play regularly for you to see some of those results. Certainly Daniel Nava has been impressive whenever he's played this year, so that's a guy who could see more at bats. So, yeah, I think there is pressure on Shane Victorino. If he doesn't produce, you know, you have at the major league level, you have Alan Craig, and you have Daniel Nava, and you have Brock Holt, who can take some of those at bats. And then down in AAA, Ruzne Castillo has a shoulder injury right now. Not quite sure when he's going to be back, but once he comes back, then you have another guy who could take some playing time. So, yeah, I think Shane Victorino is one of the biggest early season stories for this team, is just to see, you know, what he's going to do.
Again, pouring through the stats, and a number that jumped out at me is, as good as the Red Sox relievers have been, they have the second most innings in the major leagues. That's always a concerning number, no matter how good or how deep your bullpen is. And it's, I think, particularly concerning this early in the year. What is the level of worry, first, just about the bullpen, particularly with a guy like Uehara, who is not somebody who can really be ridden that hard, with Ogando coming back from injury? Is that something they're aware of? Is that a concern, that workload that they're putting on the relievers right now?
Yeah, no, I think the stat is misleading in this sense, that you have to remember the Red Sox played a 19-inning game. So there was 14 bullpen innings right there in that game. And then that second turn through the rotation, four out of the five guys just kind of had terrible starts in that second turn through. And you hope it was just kind of a one-time slump through the rotation. So I wouldn't be alarmed about it yet, but if they have a few more turns through the rotation, when you have three or four guys going three or four innings, then you have to look concerned. The good news is the bullpen has looked pretty good for the most part. Toji has looked good since coming back from the DL. Tozawa really continues to be a very underrated reliever who doesn't get a lot of hype around the game for whatever reason. Alexi Ogando, to me, he looks stronger each week. So I think they feel overall pretty good about their bullpen. But you're right, you never want a bullpen that's going to get overtaxed. And that's why the starting rotation, you know, they still have to prove it. There's been questions about this rotation ever since Ben Cherington constructed it in the winter. And it's been a little up and down so far. So, you know, John Farrell would like to see some more consistency out of this rotation.
And that does lead into my next question. For the early part of the season, it's clear that the Red Sox are very committed to these five guys. I mean, they it's sort of, to some extent, a group of equals. It's five, you know, number twos or number threes or whatever they are. They pretty clearly separated them as these are our five guys. But if one or more of these guys continue to struggle, and look, the one guy I have the least faith in is the one guy who's pitching the best, Joe Kelly. You know, obviously Porcello's not going anywhere. You wouldn't think any of them would, but is there a plan B? What is plan B if there continues to be questions in this rotation?
Yeah, I thought all along the Red Sox felt, hey, the American League East is a little watered down this year. So we can compete with what we have right now. And, you know, you look at it up in the record as 9-5 through 14 games. So it's kind of gone how they thought. And then I think they've always thought, okay, we get to June, July, then we make a big move for a pitcher, whether it's a Cole Hamels or whoever, you know, whoever's out there at the time. I think that's the more likely scenario, that they're going to find somebody from another team. They're going to make a trade with some of the excess depth they have in other areas, rather than, say, calling a guy up. I don't really think they have that guy right now. Brian Johnson's looked pretty good, but I don't know if they want to rush him up. You know, Stephen Wright, is he really, you know, the answer to the pitch in this rotation? So I think that they're just going to keep seeing if they can compete in what they feel is a watered-down American League East. And that's how they're going to get through the first couple months of the season. And then, you know, if they really feel like, you know, that they're built to contend, then they go out and they try to get that starter who could put them over the top down the stretch.
All right. And finally, let's talk franchise four. We got the early balloting results, and not particularly surprisingly, the four guys Red Sox fans have chosen thus far: Ted Williams, Yaz, David Ortiz, and Pedro. Out of that next tier of guys, one of my all-time favorite players, Dwight Evans, Carlton Fisk, Jim Rice, and Cy Young. Any of those guys you would slot in over the four currently leading?
Cy Young, you'd certainly take a look at. And look, I love You know, Rice and Evans, those are two guys that were in their primes when I was growing up watching the Red Sox. But the four guys you mentioned, it's hard to top really any of those four guys when you look at their resumes. And just the fact that Pedro was fourth behind David Ortiz, that shows you how competitive that is to be a top four Red Sox. You know, it just shows you the tradition that this franchise has. And I think that those four guys who are up there right now are very very worthy selections.
Do you think, in particular, and I'm not sure, I'm just asking because I think it's an interesting question, that the one thing I would wonder, Pedro's got to be in there. Do you think there is any kind of a case for Rice over Ortiz at all? Do you think that's because of playing a position for a while, because of, I don't know, anything, or is it that number of games, number of at-bats, or do you think at this point that's pretty much a slam dunk?
Yeah, no, after I pretty much watched both of these guys their entire career, so Ortiz from the press box, Rice when I was growing up watching the Red Sox, and Jim Rice was certainly a great player when he was in his prime, but I think his prime wasn't as long as David Ortiz. David Ortiz has simply been a dominant player for longer than Jim Rice was. And I think that, the defense, if Rice was a great defender, then maybe you make a case there. But he was, kind of a mediocre left fielder. I think what David Ortiz has done kind of leading this team to really three World Series championships, where you can't really say that about any other slugger in Red Sox, modern-day Red Sox history, or even going back to when Ted Williams played. So I think that's kind of what puts Ortiz over the top against Jim Rice.
All right, well, Ian Brown, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.